Welcome back to Coast AM, and my guest is Dr. Mark Gulston. I want to read to you something that he said about the seven words that you can say to someone who is in the depths of suffering or despair. These seven words give them the chance to, they really need to feel less alone and to reclaim the hope that they've lost. And your time, your empathy costs you nothing, but it could end up saving a life. And these seven words are hurt, afraid, angry, ashamed, alone, lonely, tired. Pick one and start telling me about it. And you can use these with your children, with friends, relatives, anyone who's in that place of feeling that they're in a place of despair. And so, Mark, we have a bunch of great callers calling in that would need your help tonight. Are you good with that?
I'm good. Let's see what we can do.
All right. Well, let's talk to Charles in Elgin, Texas. Hey, Charles, how are you?
Well, hello, Lisa. Gosh, I haven't heard from you in a long time.
I know. It's really good to hear your voice. How you doing?
Well, I guess I'm doing okay. Now,
Good.
you probably remember that, of course, my dad was, he's still there. Yeah.
Yes,
Okay. You probably remember that my dad was, I always having a little thing. I have to feel a little feeling thing with this George about this, but my dad was assassinated. Of course, people want to say, "Oh no, it was an accident or something like that." No, he was assassinated. George always seems to want to say it was an accident because he wants to believe that. Oh, I don't know.
Well, I think you and I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
And so, what is your question for Dr. Golston?
But the thing was. One of the things that happened afterwards, I mean, this was the most, people's parents die or other, people they love or whatever, they die or they get killed or all kinds of things happen. But it's not necessarily the most significant, most important thing ever in their life.
Well, that's an interesting perspective for you, but I'm curious about your question for
In
Mark. What
my
did you
case,
want to ask him?
it was. But so the thing is, the question, the thing it has to do with, he's got these, these words. I keep thinking, I guess you got the word alone in there.
Yes.
What happened with me is, I reached out to, try to get counselors to go to grief groups and all kinds of stuff. Every single thing, first of all they seemed to care about was money. Try to get me into their offices or get me into and see so they could start getting money for just talking with me for whatever. And then of course they're always then the next step is drugs. They always want to
Right.
get you on some kind of pills.
Did they ever
And
talk to you, Charles, about feeling alone? Was that a case? And Mark, would that be something that you could talk to Charles about?
yeah, Charles, I want you to fill in the blank if you can, okay? And the thing I have most difficulty getting past in my life is what? Fill in the blank for me.
I don't even know what would fit in there, the thing I have most
Just try it.
hoping
Just
to,
try it, Charles.
I don't know, maybe if you could put it another way or something. Let's see. I don't know. I mean, you were thinking about like an event or something like that.
So here's part of what I'm hearing, Charles. Okay, tell me if you can relate to this. Underneath, the upset and the anger, what I hear is, and tell me if you can feel any of this, I feel a lot of hurt in you saying that I feel like I'm stuck in a broken record and I want to get out and I can't seem to get past and it keeps throwing me back and back. And
Well, that's yeah. I mean, that's interesting. Yeah, a broken record. Yeah, I think that things seem. Well, I am kind of isolated here. Although I do reach out, I try to go, talk, go out and walk and try to walk to my neighbors and stuff like that. These are acres out here, so it's it's hard to get to.
And you talk to us.
Yeah, I talk to you guys.
You do. Yeah.
Charles, I have a suggestion to make, and just consider it. You can reject it. I'd like to, you to consider starting to do some volunteer work, and where you're interacting with people, where they look up into your eyes, and they say thank you just for being here, and it could be homeless people, it could be teenagers, it could be a soup kind of thing. Cause, and I'll tell you why, because sometimes when I've dealt with people who are really kind of down and anxious and depressed, sometimes down deep they say, you know, I'm really self-absorbed. I mean, I'm like in this big hole. And I remember one person telling me, Charles, he said, you know, I'm so self-absorbed, you know, maybe it's not in the cards for me to be happy. And I said, go out there and just volunteer and see the gratitude in people's eyes who can't do anything for you other than give you their gratitude. Because if you can do that, what's happened with some of the people I've suggested it to is they say, you know, I felt like I kind of deserve, I finally deserve to be a little more happy. I mean, I wasn't self-involved today. I mean, I actually helped some people. I kind of broke the vicious cycle in my head. And I know it's really tough to consider doing that, you know, when it feels like you're the one is being deprived by the world and feeling treated unfairly. I just like you to give that a try, and then you can always report back, because it seems like you and Lisa, you know, kind of know each other from the show.
But. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. That's a beautiful thing to do, and I would love, Charles, to give, the next time I'm on, to give me that gift and to tell me what he did to help other people. And I so appreciate that advice. And thank you, Charles, for your phone call. I want to get to another caller here. We've got Sammy in Oklahoma on our wild card line 3. And Sammy, you have a question for Dr. Mark Goldston.
Hi, Dr. Hi. Mark. I have a statement, and then I'd like to ask you a question. I started losing people when I was 19 years old in Vietnam. And then I came home and I married, and I lost my wife and 2 children in a car accident years later.
Mm.
And you talk about self-absorbed. I'm not so much self-absorbed. I try to reach out to people. And since then, I should mention this, that I basically lost all but one friend that I would call a true friend during the subsequent years. And what I do now is I am totally isolated from people. I see a psychiatrist at the VA, and it's hard. He basically says, you know, it's been tough, and I don't take medication, and I don't believe that I have the right to take my own life, because
we're happy for that.
I wasn't given this life, but I just want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you, you know, for people like me that are in their mid-60s, what's wrong with just saying, you said tired at the end of your...
Yeah.
I'm not tired. I am totally exhausted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I was just wondering, you know.
I don't want to jump in here, Mark, but I know you do.
Okay. What's your first name? Is it Sammy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Sammy. There was a patient I saw years ago, and her only child daughter was shotgunned to death. In fact, it was an awful thing, and the murder of the shotgun. Her daughter's head ended up in a tree. And it was just this horrendous thing, and it was tough to give her reason to live. And I got her into Sharon Tate's mother's group. Sharon Tate was part of the group that was killed by Charles Manson's group.
Yes.
And her mother started a group called Parents of Murdered Children. And what happened is other people started, you know, younger mothers started coming into the group, and they'd had a kid who had been murdered. And she gave me this insight. She said, you got to build new memories to dilute the old ones. And you build new memories by taking actions, not by thinking thoughts. And so, see, the problem with being isolated is you're not building new memories. And I love this model that someone shared with me. Sammy, think of the rings of a tree. You know, and if you think of the rings of a tree, you know, some of the rings went through fire, some of them went through flooding. But boy, you know, if the tree keeps growing, other rings dilute those. Whereas if you're just stuck with those other rings, if you're just stuck with those losses, it is, and we've used the word, it's like a broken record going back to, you know, I can't get past it. So if you're a vet, something I could also sense, which the VA doesn't do the best job, is, and we don't have all the time here, as you were talking and we were listening and we weren't shoving a treatment or medication down your throat, I have the feeling that if you could talk more, that you'd start to feel some relief and start to feel better. And I think if you felt relief and started to feel better, different options would come there. But it sounds like you're just kind of clogged and frustrated and totally exhausted. But I think if you could build new memories, and again, I love this former patient's advice, you know, building new memories comes from actions you take. And you know, maybe this will be the year that you felt like giving up, but if you build new memories in 5 years, you'll say, wow, look what I did. But I also think if you can find in the VA a place where you're able to be heard out.
Mm.
One of the problems with psychiatrists and psychologists anywhere is they're stuck with time. And you may even go out to the community. It doesn't have to be in the VA, but a place where people start to share things. I will tell you one final thing is, no matter what I said to this patient whose child was murdered, you know, she could say, well, it's easy for you to say you didn't have a child that was murdered. So, Sammy, you could say to Lisa and me, it's easy for you to say you don't have all these losses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important to be with people mm-hmm. who are going through the same thing. Because as long as you're interacting with people who haven't been through what you've been through, it's going to be tough to accept their caring because they haven't been through it.
Yeah, and they were not going to say the right thing in the to your listening. So I think that's wonderful advice. Does that make sense to you, Sammy?
Yes, Lisa, but what I'm worried about, Dr. Mark, is I have formed new relationships since then, and I've been devastated by loss of life, and I'm asking you, not as a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old or as a 40-year-old, I'm probably... I think it's 78 years old is the standard living. It lowered. I'm ready to go to sleep and not wake up.
But Mark just said to build new memories to dilute the old ones, and you can do that at any age. And I am not the professional here. I'm just repeating what Mark said.
Well, God bless both of you.
You too. God bless you too, sweetie. And thank you so much for staying with us here and listening to the show and being with us night after night after night. We so appreciate it. And
can I say something to Sammy?
Mark, yes, for sure.
Lisa, you and I have spoken about something, I think, on a different show about this thing called mediated catharsis. Sammy, stay with me and see if you can just say to Lisa and I, and we'll listen to you, and feel some of the anger in there. You know, you can say to us, and say it with some anger, neither of you seem to get it. I'm done.
I don't feel that. I just feel I don't think I'm not angry because people can't get it. I'm just sad, and I don't blame other people. I don't want them to feel what I feel. I don't want anyone ever to go through this pain. And I rely on this, that Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and I believe that. And that's the only way that I can accept it.
But see, but you're getting emotional in a good way because you're talking it out and we're not shutting you down. We just don't have the time here. And your hurt feelings and your expressing it deserves to be heard, even if the world is too rushed to listen to it.
Well, I'll tell you, their hearts are going out to you so much.
I'm
sorry, Mark.
I talk to my cats about it.
Yeah, I have cats.
You know, they understand.
Yeah, they do. Cats are amazingly empathetic.
And I hate to admit this, but I lost a friend just a couple months ago. And then I lost a cat by getting hit by a car, and I actually grieve more for the cat than I do for the friend, a human being.
Oh, that's
and that's sad.
Very common.
Sammy, don't beat up on yourself. There's an unconditional connection between animals. They recognize us. They look us in the eye. It's very simple. We connect with them. Would you be willing to get another cat, a kitten? It seems like you check in on the show and just let Lisa how you're doing. But
yeah,
go get a cat.
If you can get another cat. We actually have to take a break here, Sammy, but thank you for listening and for hanging on. And we're always here for you, and I so appreciate that. And, Mark, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there. I know we could talk to Sammy all night, but we do need to take a quick break. And that unconditional loving aspect of animals is so healing. There are so many animals that need homes, and it is any shelter is filled with them, especially since the recent, you know, natural disasters we've been having. So there's an animal out there waiting for you as well. Mark, I'm sorry about that. And there's a specific time here that we have to do on the radio show. So thanks for bearing with me on that. I don't pretend to be co-coaching with or counseling with you at all. I'm sorry about that. All right. So we will take a quick break here and we will come back with Dr. Mark Goldston. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I want to mention that on my website, which is theawareshow.com, you can check out all of the great places that I broadcast throughout the week. If you just go to theawareshow.com, theawareshow.com, and connect to inspiring content all week long, uplifting, positive, and inspiring content. You can check it out right there. I hope to see you there. And I will be right back on Coast to Coast. I am Lisa Garr. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr, and my guest is Dr. Mark Goldston. Now, Mark has a podcast that just launched today, which is very exciting. It's called The Wake Up Call. Is that right, Mark?
It's called My Wake Up Call.
My Wake Up Call. And your first guest was Larry King. I forgot to revisit that conversation with you.
Yeah, so, well, I want to bring Larry King and Sammy and everything together because what happened is, here's something for listeners to keep in mind. When you can get people to talk about an incident so clearly that you can see it through your eyes, they relive it. And when they relive it, that can change them. So one of the things I asked Larry is, you've been curious all your life, and you said you'd like to make people laugh. What does it go back to? And he said, well, I guess it maybe went back to the fact that, you know, when I was 9, my father died kind of suddenly. And we could have gone on, but instead I said, take me back to the moment when you discovered he was dead. And, I mean, it changed the conversation. And he said, you know, well, my mother was screaming, and there's two cops, and one of them was crying, and the other cop took me to a movie. But it changed the conversation because he was re-experiencing something. That's why I was trying to get at Sammy, is that sometimes you need to be able to tell an experience, something that happened, so clearly that you re-experience it. And something that I shared with Larry, and this is how I think how insight can be transformational, I said, is it possible that the reason you've been curious, I said, do you think you were a little more curious after he died than before he died? And he said, possibly. And I said, maybe what happened is with your dad gone, you didn't have someone to explain to you about the world, so you had to go out and find out on your own and be curious. And he said, geez, you know, I never thought of that.
Mm.
So I don't know how that helps, but this is how I think transformational things can happen when you get people to share an event so clearly that you can see it, they re-feel it, and at that moment they have the chance to spontaneously transform.
So not to re-experience it in a negative way, but to re-experience it in present time so that...
Right. And see, and the reason it's different is, see, a lot of times when people have a lot of those experiences, that's why when you ask someone if they're suicidal, pick one, and what you'd say is, tell me about a time when it's at its worst. So when someone is telling you about a time when it's at its worst, say, alone, when they talk about that, usually when it's at their worst, they're feeling it alone. But when they start to share it with you, and we could hear in Sammy's voice a little bit, you know, he's getting a little bit emotional. And again, it's not making him cry, it's letting him cry, but inside a conversation in which we're not shutting him down, but we're just not set up on a radio show to be able to do that. But this is how you can sort of help heal people, because a lot of times what people want to do is, and this is my view, one of my books was PTSD for Dummies, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we capable of doing this without being trained professionals?
I believe so. No, I think there's a process that you can follow. I think there are steps. In fact, that, you know, that's part of what I'm promoting out into the world. You know, how do you talk to your depressed or anxious child? So for instance, if you have a child that you're worried about or a spouse that you're worried about, one of the things you can say is, what happened? What did you feel or think when it happened? What did it make you want to do right when it happened? What did you do? What would be a better thing to do if it happened again?
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, what you're doing is you're walking them through kind of how their mind could process it. Do you follow me?
Absolutely. So you just run through that again, because I did use this, and since we've spoken last, and it really did work. So what happened? What did you feel and think when it happened?
Yeah. What did it make you want to do? So you get them to use their words about the impulse. So what did you end up doing? Oh, I did that. Well, if that were to happen again, what would be a better thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing is you're sort of feeding the way their mind can work. And what I do is, I've always felt a little deficient in the mindfulness world, because positive affirmations have never worked for me, but I can call upon any of my, I've had 7 mentors, they've all died. And so I'd have trouble talking myself through it. So Mark, what happened? What did it make you feel? But if you can think of people who cared about you, living or dead, and imagine them having that conversation with you, like a loving parent or a loving mentor or a loving uncle. So I can think of any of the mentors in my life, including Dr. Schneidman. And so when I'm stressed out, I can imagine them saying, okay, Mark, what happened? Well, I was on Lisa's show and I kept starting stories and I never finished them.
How do you really feel?
Yeah.
Mark, so, what happened?
And I couldn't finish a story, and so what did it make you feel or think? God, am I ever going to get this right? I've been doing this for so many years. Am I ever going to get the hang of this thing? And then, you know, what my mentors would say to me is, Mark, you're spontaneous. You know, you're not selling anything. You're not polished. It's okay. You're real. Give it a break.
Roll with it.
Roll with it.
Yes.
But so I'm saying, yes, it is sort of teachable. And I think if you can think of people who are doing that, I'll tell you something that I wanted to do, but it's too late now. I wanted the I couldn't get through to them. I wanted the L.A. Lakers and LeBron James to hand out little journals on opening night with a picture of LeBron, and it would say, and it would say to these kids, "You can do it." And it would be called sort of a journal to talk them out of acting impulsive. So it'd be a little teeny journal. There's a picture of LeBron saying, "You can do this," and imagine him sort of saying, "Okay, what?" You put down the date and the time. What happened? "Oh, you know, I got a, you know, I did badly on a test, or I got, I lost the game." So imagine LeBron saying, "Okay, so what did it make you feel? What did it make you think?" "Oh, I think, you know, I'm not very good at this." "Mm-hmm. What did it make you want to do?" "Well, it made me want to quit." "Well, what did you do?" "Well, I didn't quit. I mean, you know, I didn't quit." "Well, what would be a better thing if it happened again?" "Well, you know, maybe I can train better." Actually, see, what you really want when you're doing this with people is the better thing to do is to have the conversation, talking yourself through it.
That's the diffuser right there, yes.
Right, and then you internalize it. So I've internalized my... It's what I call my dead mentor society. They've all passed away. And whenever I feel I haven't done as well as I could, they talk me out of it. But now, instead of saying, what happened, Mark? What'd you think? What'd you feel? What did you want to do? Right now, like, you know, if I'm dinging myself on my how well I did on your show, I can pick any of them, and they smile at me from wherever they are in heaven, and they say, "Mark, what? Put a sock in it." And it's filled with love, and then I yes. just think, boy, was I lucky to have them, and you know, and then I'm able to let it go.
Well, there's so many people that did say that the seven words really helped them and felt them, and they are truly transformational. They really are. When you call out if someone is hurt, afraid, angry, ashamed, alone, lonely, and tired, it starts to dissipate the energy of those words that otherwise could carry a lot of weight or want to avoid, and the confrontation and the moment.
Absolutely.
And so forth. Yeah.
In fact, here's some tips for people listening, for anyone in your life who's upset. So I've interviewed a number of people, but they're going to, for the podcast, and they're going to be rolling out. And there's one fellow who I can't wait for his podcast to come out. And he said, "You know, I used to be an alcoholic, and I've been successful. I'm a very humble and likable guy." And he says, "I'm doing this inner child work." And I said, "Well, there's a lot of people who don't know what that is. I know what it is. It was a fad in the 80s and 90s. And so he talked about it. And I said, "You know, for the audience, what does it mean?" And he says, "Well, you know, you recall childhood events. And then you sort of relive them. You explain them. You kind of go through what we just did." And I said, "Well, tell me about one." He said, "When I was 8 years old, I was one of two kids who wasn't chosen for any little league team. Not the majors, not the minors, not the minor minors. I just wasn't chosen." And I said, "You know, what did your parents say? In your mind's eye, what did your mom and dad say?" You know, and they, you know, said the usual thing, "Well, you know, it'll be okay." And then I gave him this exercise, Lisa. I said, "I want you to go back as you are now to you as an 8 year old and imagine he just got back. You just got back from being rejected. What would you say to him?" Mm. And he said, "Well, I'd say, well, you know, you're good at other things. And, you know, if you wanted to get better, we could help you get better at things." And so we had all these, you know, very positive solutions. And I said, "Now I want you to imagine being the 8-year-old. And I want you to imagine you saying to that 8-year-old, what hurts most? And how much does it hurt?" And he immediately said, "I feel awful. I just feel like, you know, I'm a loser." But you could tell he shared it. And then I asked him, I said, "Did that feel different than giving yourself solutions?" He said, "Oh, yeah, that felt better." So the takeaway for people listening is if someone's upset or afraid or angry, and you get an idea of what it is, if you were to say to someone, instead of rushing in to give them a solution, if you were to say to them, what are you most angry about and how angry are you? Or what are you most afraid of and how afraid are you? What are you most hurt about and how hurt are you? Can you see how that would enable them to express it?
Yes, and it's very hard, by the way, to do that over text. I think it's better to actually have conversations these days. It's amazing how many conversations we have over text like this now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the art of having a conversation. All that we've spoken about tonight with Mark is allowing time for the person to be present and to feel heard and to express themselves. And all of that can be, so if somebody's really hurting and you know that they are suffering, to pick up the phone. Don't text or go see the person in person, because there's so much that can be done in just a few minutes, as Mark did on the phones tonight with just a few minutes. And there's a lot of teens that really could just use this mentorship for just a few minutes, and it would completely change their life. And I also love your idea of helping other people to get out of your the broken record, repeated feeling alone, isolation concept, and really just to help other people and to have somebody cause somebody to look you in the face and say, thank you. That's a great end result. That's a fantastic end result.
You know, there's a campaign that I started, and I'll mention it, and because I think you would say, oh, I'd go along with that campaign, and then they can report back to you. And the campaign is every day to say to someone, what made you smile today? And what happens is, and do it to the people who are the invisible functionaries. So do it to the cashier, to the TSA person at the airport.
Mm.
And I did it a couple of days ago, and there was a woman who was a TSA person and another woman who was a cashier. And I said that to them. I said, and I looked at their name tag. I said, what made you smile today? And they both said the same thing, and I'm sure you're going to guess what it is. They said, seeing you, sweetie. And what happened is I did it at a McDonald's, and the cashier, she just kept looking over at me, you know, when she had a break. And the point is, when you say that to someone, what made you smile today, you cause them to feel like a person,
mm-hmm,
instead of a function, instead of a thing.
A number, yes. Yes.
And what happens is you feel better about yourself, because every time I say to someone, especially someone who can't do anything for me, I say, what made you smile today? And then they just talk. I could just see what happens is they get to relive something that made them smile. So they're reliving it. They're grateful to you. And you've succeeded in getting out of your self-absorption to actually care about another human being. I mean, it's like a triple win.
It's a great way to go to bed, to say that to yourself right before you fall asleep, is what made me smile today. And if you fall asleep smiling and in a little chuckle in your heart, it's a wonderful way to fall asleep.
So what made you smile about our talk today, Lisa?
Oh, my goodness. A lot of things. I love the last things that you said, what happened and what did you feel and think. And I did use that with my dad, who has been in the hospital for 5 weeks and has felt many times like it was over. And I said this to him because he was able to speak to me the next day. And that was the greatest gift. He didn't die overnight, and he was able to have the conversation with me the next day. And
what did you say to him? And then what did he say the next day?
I said, how did it feel when you were going through that experience? And, you know, what did it make you, what did you do that allowed you to get through to the next day to have this conversation with me now? And he mentioned a few things, and then I said, well, what would you do the next time? And he said, well, maybe there won't be a next time that I'll have that feeling. And it was really, it's really great, because he kind of paced forward, and he's doing much better, much better. He called me today, and he was really in a talkative mood. It was great.
Well, you know what made me smile, Lisa, is you're a teachable and coachable host. That's amazing.
Yeah, I got it right away. I really love stuff like this. I mean, obviously, this is, if I can't use it in my life, why would I talk about it? I really appreciate how many people that you've helped. You're a unique individual, Mark, to do what you do. And I didn't even know that there was such a thing as a suicidologist, and you actually do it with such simplicity and just reverence for people, and I think it's commendable. So thank you very much for all of the people that you've helped tonight and in your life. It's quite commendable. You're a very special person. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You know, one of my last mentors, who I really revered, he'd give me a compliment, and I would detract from it, you know. And he said, you know, Mark, when you start taking away from a compliment, it makes the other person not want to give you another one. And there's two words you're supposed to say when someone gives you a good compliment.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
So thank you.
You're welcome. And you can go to markgulston.com, GULSTON.com. All sorts of great information on Mark's website there. And you can connect with his podcast to Your Wake Up Call.
My wake-up call, my
Mine.
wake-up call.
My wake up call. It's right here in front of me, right there on his website.
Yeah, because you're going to be on it.
That sounds
We're going to
great.
reverse the table. We're going to wake you all up.
I would love it. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who helps with Coast to Coast, Lisa Lyon and Gina Savati, George Norrie and Tommy Danheiser and Michael Ocasio, who's been so awesome with me in the studio tonight. And thank you for listening. Your support, your voice, your energy, just listening makes this show possible. And thank you also to Chris Foros and Stephanie Smith. You guys are rock stars. Until next time. I'm Lisa Gar, and I invite you to stay aware.